Proverbs chapter 23 this morning. We just glimpsed into the lesson that will be on today, last Sunday, so we didn't get into it hardly at all. Proverbs 23 and verse 17 and 18. We finished up chapter 22 with lesson 72, living life wisely is to avoid friendships with angry people. Now we're in chapter 23 and we're drawing the lesson from chapter 23 verses 17 and 18, which says, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. We said last week, lesson 73, living life wisely is to avoid longing for the lifestyle of the unsaved. He makes it very plain here, let not thine heart envy sinners. Because this verse is dividing people into two categories, those who are saved and those who are unsaved. Okay? So he's talking here to saved people, especially young people, young saved people. The word envy is simply a strong word for jealousy. It means to be zealously jealous. All right? Zealously jealous. And the potential for that is in each one of our hearts. Now, there is only one way to possibly live like this verse tells us not to live. If we live envious of sinners, the only way to do that is to spend our lives looking horizontally instead of vertically. Okay? The Christian has to learn that he must set his affection on things above. Colossians chapter 3. Now, if I'm going to set my affection on things above, I'm going to have to constantly be looking that direction. I don't mean looking that way physically, although it doesn't hurt to look up every now and again. David said in the morning he would make his prayer unto God and look up. So there's nothing wrong with looking up, even to God. But I mean in your heart, your spiritual walk, keeping your eyes on heaven. You see, our eyes affect our hearts. That's what Jeremiah said. Mine eye affecteth my heart. Sure it does. You know, you see pictures of starving children. You see their ribs with their bloated bellies, and your heart is moved. Your eye affects your heart. Mine eye affecteth mine heart. Okay? So the things that we look at, the things that we keep in our vision, our scope of vision, are going to affect our hearts. They're going to affect us emotionally. And if we live our lives looking horizontally all the time, looking across the way at the lifestyle, the materialism that goes along with an unsaved life, if you will, eventually that's going to affect our hearts. That's going to affect us to the degree of wanting these things, of being envious of these things. So this is what the wise man is telling his son to avoid. Okay, now, there are three groups of twos in this verse, in these verses. Three groups of twos. First of all, you got two paths. In verse 17, let not thine heart envy sinners, there's one path, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. There's the other path. So again, you got the sinner's path, and you got the path of obedience to the Lord. Okay? Hopefully everybody that's saved is walking the path of obedience to the Lord. Okay? You see, salvation did not just affect our eternal destiny. Salvation affects my practical life from day after day after day after day. Salvation changes me. Okay? It changes the way I walk, the way I live. I'm supposed to anyway. So you got the sinner's path, the path of the unsaved, and you got the path of the fear of the Lord, the path of the saved person who's walking according to Bible principles. Now, not only do you have two paths, but you have two ends. Look at verse number 18, the first phrase there. For surely there is an end. You know what that means? Both roads will end up at a specific destination someday. All right? And I'm not talking about heaven and hell. I'm talking about the reward for walking that life, the reward for walking that way in life. Okay? I'm talking about it has an end. There is a destination on the path of walking according to the principles of God's book, the path of God's way. There is a destination. There is an end, okay, that you come to. And the same thing is true about the path of the unsaved. There is an end. That's what the Bible says. For surely, look, folks, we're not walking this. If you're walking the path of obedience to Bible principle, you're not walking it in vain. And that's where faith comes in. Because sometimes it feels like we are walking in vain. And I'm trying to do right, and rather than things going forward for me, things seem to be going backwards. So this lifestyle and this path of obedience that I'm attempting to walk, it just seems to be completely in vain. But it is not in vain. Surely there is an end. in. That road is leading somewhere. Okay? Now, it may take this kind of terrain to get there, but it is leading somewhere. Okay? There is a destination. There is an end that is associated, that's tied to each of those paths. The saved have their end, and the unsaved have their end. I'm not talking about just eternal destiny. I'm talking about fulfillment in life. I'm talking about satisfaction in life. I'm talking about joy in life. I'm talking about in this life, there is an end to walking the path of obedience, and there is an end to walking in the path of disobedience. Okay? Even though sometimes it may seem like it's in vain. It's never in vain to do right. All right? It's always right to do right. So you got two paths, you got two ends, and then you've got two rewards. There's something at the end of that path that's a reward. That's what he says here, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. That word expectation is something, a word very interesting. It means like a cord wrapped around, bound up, tied to. Okay? So here's what the wise man is saying. He said, look, son, there are two paths in life. You take the right path. You take the path of the godly. You take the path of the fear of the Lord. You take the path of obedience to the Word of God. And you walk that path, regardless of how it feels sometimes. It is not in vain. And as you're walking it, you're saying, you're thinking to yourself, you know, when I get to the end, there's going to be a reward of some kind. And you know, he said, you're right. There is a reward at the end of this thing. Okay? And that reward is tied to that path. Now, the same thing is true about the path of the disobedient, the unsaved. There's their path. Their path has an end. And their reward is tied to that path. Now, here's where we get in trouble. We get in trouble. This is true about young people often. So many young people, they want to walk the path of the ungodly, but they want to end up where the other path comes out. That can't happen. That will not happen. Are you with me? Okay? So you got two paths. This road leads to this destination. This road leads to this destination. And the desire sometimes is to walk over here and have all the worldly, fleshly pleasures of this life and yet still come out at the end with the reward that's at the end of this path. Doesn't happen. Can't happen. Won't happen. You're going to end up according to where the path, where you're going to end up is according to the path you're walking. Okay? And if you walk the path that sinners walk as a saved person in pursuit of fleshly pleasure, worldly pleasure, in the pursuit of the things of this life, if you walk that path, then that's the destination you're going to reach. Okay? That can't be changed. God said these things are inexplicably linked together, invariably linked together. There's no possible way to jump over and walk this path and yet receive this reward when it's all done. You pay the price to do right, and when it's all done, you'll be super glad you did. That's what he's saying here. Okay? Now, let not your heart envy sinners. You don't want to live your life envying the lifestyle of the unsaved. Okay? Now, how does that happen? Okay? How do you envy the life of the unsaved? Well, look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Let me show you a verse here about a man who was a saved man, a justified man, but he lived his life looking horizontally instead of vertically. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 7. Peter here is talking about the man Lot in the Old Testament, okay? He says in there in verse number 7, if you're new to the Bible, Lot is Abraham's nephew. Lot traveled with Abraham. Their flocks and their herds grew to such proportions that they could not work together. So Abraham brought his nephew to a high point in the terrain and said, look out there and you choose which direction you want to go and I'll go the opposite direction. That's how we're going to solve this. And Lot lifted up his eyes because of the well-watered plains of Jordan. What did that mean? Well, the well-watered plains of Jordan meant green grass and plenty of water for his herds. So the well-watered plains of Jordan meant what? Financial increase. Okay? Also on that side of the that area there were the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay. Filthy cities. Vile cities. Cities that were inundated with a homosexual lifestyle. Especially Sodom. That's where we get the word sodomy. Okay? Homosexual behavior. Okay? So here they are, and Lot chooses that direction. Now, the Bible says he gets down in the city of Sodom. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. I don't think he ever meant to. I don't think when he was on that mountain making the choice, I don't think he ever intended to end up in Sodom. But he pitched his tent that direction. So every day when he comes out his tent doors, what does he see? He sees Sodom. He sees the lifestyle of Sodom. He sees the glitter of Sodom. He sees the neon lights of Sodom. He hears the tinkling of the glass, the nightclubs. Okay, in modern day vernacular. He sees all that going on in Sodom every day. His tent is pitched that direction. That's what I'm talking about. What direction are you pitching your tent? Okay, that's what we got. You got to pitch your tent the right direction. So now, after pitching his tent that direction, he ends up in that city. Not just he doesn't just end up as a dweller in that city. He ends up as a main influence in that city. He sits in the gate. That's where all the influential men in the city sit. That's where they do all the business transactions. That's where they make all the legislative decisions for the city. They sit in the gate. Lot's one of them. Okay? He's one of them. How does this happen? Look at verse number 7. And delivered just Lot, vexed, with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteousness, talk about when God delivered Lot out of Sodom, okay? For that righteous man, calling Lot a righteous man. What does that mean? That means he's saved. He's righteous in his soul. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. You know what I read in this verse? I don't read that Lot ever participated in the sins of Sodom personally. He never participated in their homosexuality. He never participated in their wild party lifestyle. But just living there from day to day, seeing and hearing, it vexed his soul. Vexed. By the way, that doesn't sound like a very happy lifestyle to me. Vexing your soul? It just doesn't sound very enjoyable. So he's seeing, he's hearing day after day after day the conversation of this filthy, vile, ungodly city. And because after so long of seeing and hearing, it vexes his soul. He never participates in the activity. It does have an influence on him. And when the two angels show up, to help get him out, and the men of the city come and they beat on the door, those homosexual men, and they beat on the door and they say, send us those two angels that we may know them. Those two angels came to Sodom in the form of humans. And those homosexual men went to his door like a bunch of hungry wolves. He said, send those men out that we may know them. That's a sexually intimate term, that we may know them. That's about sexuality, okay? And Lot said, no way, I can't do that. And then what did he do? Offered them his two virgin daughters. He said, I can't send the angels out, but I got these two virgin daughters in here. How about if I give you my girls? What? A man giving his two virgin daughters to a bunch of homosexual men, do with them as they want to? You think he envisioned that when he was on that mountain making that choice? You think that's where he thought he'd end up? But that's where he ended up. Where did Abraham end up? Friend of God, father of the faithful, pitching his tent in the plains of Mamre, flat, plain, no grass, no water. Who comes to Mamre? God does. So God comes to visit him. I'm telling you what, my choice, I'll be out there in Mamre with Abraham, amen, rather than down in Sodom with Lot. I don't think Lot ever envisioned the day that he would be an influential man in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, offering his two virgin daughters to homosexual men to do what they want with them. I don't think he ever saw that coming. But that's the path he chose to walk. Are you with me? Understand, folks, you understand? You can't walk that path and end up at the other place. Okay? You know, if you want to go to New York City, you better head east. And if you want to go to San Francisco. If you want to go to Seattle, Washington, brother Jason, amen, head west. You better head that direction. Okay? If you want to come out of Seattle, you better head west. If you want to come out of New York City, you better head east. And if you know what, if Lot didn't want to end up that way, he should never have walked that path. You know what he should have done? He was a young man. He should have said, Uncle Abraham, you're far much older than I am and wiser. Help me out. That's what he should have done. Where he'd made the decision himself. Okay? But I want you to see that the vexing of his soul, watch this, did not come because he participated in this activity. the vexing of his soul came just from him being around, seeing and hearing. He's looking this way all the time. You can't look horizontally all your life. You've got to remember to look vertically. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the... Well, it wouldn't hurt me to look that way every now and again. To remind myself, I'm here for a short while. I'm not going to give myself to the lifestyle of these people and have to have all that they have and do all that they do and be all that they be, because I don't want to end up where they're going, first of all. And second of all, this is not me. My citizenship is in heaven. And folks, if we never look vertically, if you never take the upward look, if you never look vertically, I don't mean physically, but in your soul, remind yourself that that's your home. That's where you're headed. Your citizenship is in heaven. Okay? The world will have the same effect on me and you that it had on Lot. The world's powerful. The God of this world, G, little g God, devil, he's powerful. So its allurements, its enticements, its attractions are very strong. If I'd look at them all the time, I'm going to find my heart going there. Because my eye affects my heart. I have to remind myself, oh yeah, God, Jesus, streets of gold, walls of jasper, saints are singing, angels are singing, eternity in heaven. One of these days I'm going to be there. I got to do that often. I got to take the horizontal look. If not, I'll end up envying sinners. Okay? And if I envy sinners, I'm going to give myself to walk like they walk, or walk the path that they're walking. I'm going to end up in the wrong place. Now, before long, we're caught up envying that which God says don't envy. Simple matter. You can't take the horizontal look too long. You got to remember to take the vertical look as well. Okay? And by the way, that's... As parents, I always try to bring this down to where our kids are too, because we need constant help with our children. As parents, we must be cautious about allowing our children to look too long at what the world has to offer. Okay? You're not going to keep it from them, completely, because they live in this world. But mom and dad, you know what? There's got to be a constant reminder at home in the lives of those children. There's more to life than what you see with your eye. There's the will of God. There's serving the Lord. There's His principles, His path, okay? They will look across the fence. They will look across the fence and see what's going over there. And you got to be careful not to swat a gnat with an atom bomb. Because every now and again, you know, the kids are going to express a little interest in what the world's doing. Okay? And you can drop an atom bomb on it if you want to. But folks, what do you use it? What are you killing that with? A fly swatter. Or a can of spray. I don't know, whatever, you know. But you don't blow the house up to kill a gnat. Okay? So you gotta be careful with your kids. They're gonna be kids. They're gonna get their eyes on the world. They're gonna look over there, they're gonna see what those kids are doing, they're gonna want that stuff. You know, but you and I have to be careful that we remind them this world is, hey, kids, everything we see is not, that's not all there is to life. There's things that are far more important. Having that, doing that, being that. Okay? It's obeying it. Y'all understand what I'm saying this morning? Huh? Okay? There's a reason that verse is in there. Okay? God didn't waste space when He wrote the Bible. Because Jesus, you know, John said, the Apostle John, he said if all the things that Jesus did would be written in book form, the world wouldn't contain all the volumes. So we got a very small book, really. You know, you think the Bible's a big book, but that's really a pretty small book. Okay? And God put everything in there for us to know that, you know, as far as His Word is concerned. And He didn't waste space. So that verse is in there for a reason. There is a powerful attraction, a powerful enticement that the world throws at us. Okay? By the way, it doesn't just get our kids. It gets us too. Gets us to about it. We get caught up in the thing of keeping up with the Joneses. The Joneses don't attend church. The Joneses don't give to missionaries. The Joneses, you know, spend their money on alcohol. Do I really want to keep up with the Joneses? I don't really want to do that. Okay? So I got to remember that. Okay, looking vertically. looking vertically. I can't spend my life looking horizontally. I've got to look vertically. Okay? Now, oh, brother, I wanted to get to two lessons today. But there's 2 minutes left. I need to get down here about 20 till today because these guys should be downstairs. So I'm gonna stop right there. And I know we're 7 minutes early, but I've never heard anybody complain about somebody quitting too soon. I've heard complaints about going too long, but never quitting too soon. Okay, so I'm gonna stop right there today. We'll pick up next Sunday.